Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming here today on the eve of what is an important election campaign. It's important because the leaders and parties who are elected on 1st of October will have to take responsibility for the future of this country and to lead it towards Europe after the closure of the office of the High Representative. Tomorrow is both the first day of the official election campaign and exactly 100 days since I spoke to the Parliamentary Assembly of Bosnia and Herzegovina. On that occasion, I urged parliamentarians to seize the moment, to view the 100 days in front of them as an opportunity, and to demonstrate both the voters and to the international community that they were capable of taking decisions in the interest of all citizens of Bosnia-Herzegovina. I also highlighted a number of laws, measures and reforms that would both help improve the lives of citizens and ease Bosnia and Herzegovina's path toward Europe integration. These included the higher education law, the law on obligations, the salary law, the creation of a central banking supervision system, the law on national fiscal council, and the pharmaceutical law. The agenda was ambitious, but given Bosnia and Herzegovina's circumstances and needs, it was realistic and, above all, necessary. As a former parliamentarian, I believe passionately in the importance of parliament as a pinnacle of a democracy. Moreover, the way it works is indicative of the wider health of the society. I made it clear on my very first day as High Representative and EU Special Representative in Bosnia and Herzegovina that I'm here to oversee a transition to local ownership of the peace process. I have no intention of taking decisions for those who do not have the courage to take them themselves, and I will not intervene to impose legislation every time authorities fail to live up to their responsibilities. I am here to assist, advise and advocate. However, in my speech to Parliament, I pointed out that I would not stand quietly and watch the darker side of political life that clearly exists in this country take over. Specifically, I make clear that I would speak out where important obligations are not being fulfilled and where higher standards need to be met. And I promise to expose those who have failed to take on their responsibilities or acted without integrity. Of the legislative agenda that I set out in my speech to Parliament, not one law has been adopted. Indeed, the only matter I specifically referred to that has been resolved is that of changes to the Criminal Procedure Code necessary to ensure the successful transfer of cases from the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia in The Hague. At least the main part was done by the Parliament, the other part I did because it was no time to wait. There are a variety of reasons for the legislative failure. As soon as I finished my speech to the Parliament, and for unrelated reasons, the Serb delegates walked out and boycotted the Parliament for close to 4 weeks, blocking completely the legislative process. In addition to the boycott, the legislative progress has been slowed by electioneering in the run-up to October's vote. However, these reasons alone do not explain away the terrible legislative record of this parliament during the past 100 days. You are no doubt wondering whom I hold responsible for the legislative failures of this parliament. While the situation differs from law to law, it is clear that the governing parties have primary responsibility. If you wish, therefore, I can name the parties and governments that are currently blocking all these laws. It's specifically to each side. Higher education law, HDZ, HDZ 90, pharmaceutical laws, the whole problems with SDA, SBIH, obligation law, SNSD, SDS. So we can follow up that list. Well, the laws that I highlighted in my speech to Parliament were fundamental to the well-being of all citizens of this country, irrespective of their ethnic identity and party affiliations. And I think if I see all the arguments now in this starting election campaign, they are playing only with the question of ethnic history, of accusations each other. But who is thinking really on the life of the normal people, of the daily fight for survival economically, employment, pensions, all those things? That should be in the midst of contemplations that we are facing an election. The higher education law, for example, is about improving opportunity for all young people in this country, harmonizing standards for courses and examinations across all universities, and helping these young people to study elsewhere in Europe. This law and all others that this parliament has failed to adopt are desperately needed and still pending. Any delay now means a delay of many months, because parliaments must be reconstituted, new governments formed, and a new set of parliamentarians will have to examine each piece of legislation again from the stretch on. It is, however, still possible for this parliament to improve its legislative record. I therefore wrote to the collegium of both houses of the State Parliamentary Assembly yesterday, inviting the speakers and their deputies to talk in my office next week and arrange extraordinary sessions of the Parliament in September. I believe that by making such a move, parliamentarians would be able to pass one or two of the outstanding laws. In particular, I strongly believe that the pharmaceutical law can and should be adopted. In the process, they would also help improve the reputation of the institution in the eyes of both the voters in this country and observers abroad, in particular also in Brussels. The reputation of Parliament matters greatly in every democracy, as does the conduct of politicians. Political leaders have a duty to behave responsibly in both word and deed. Even in the run-up to an election, they must strike a balance between short-term appeals to the voters and the long-term interests of the country. This country's parliamentarians must now rise to the occasion and demonstrate that they are leaders and healers capable of taking Bosnia and Herzegovina from peace implementation to Euro-Atlantic integration. This is the only way to join the European mainstream, which is clearly where the electorate wants to be. Thank you for your time. So, some questions?
It's just about all of the, it's not a question, just a comment. It's just about all of the parties that you have just listed. I'm preventing some kind of law. I was just wondering who we're going to vote for.
I can give you each blocking party for each law here.
Yeah,
but you know it in the same way. You are visiting the parliament, you are seeing it, you're saying, but that must be named also in the media, that everybody knows who is responsible for what.
What I am trying to say is it is up to the voters to change this situation, because obviously, which is why you are saying this and which is why we are here.
Yes.
Now, from the perspective of the voter, if you look through this list and you think, okay, I don't want to vote anymore for these people are blocking these important laws, and once you go through the list of all these parties, you will discover that these are all the parties that there are. There is nobody to vote for. Are there some that are more responsible and others less?
I think so.
Yes, there are. Okay, good.
But this differentiation has to be made by the voter and not by me.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you.
As you told, the country seems to be very blocked. Do you think the situation could change after the elections?
What could change?
The situation.
The situation. Well, if a democracy is here, the free will of people can react to the situation. That's just the difference to a dictatorship. And that's a wonderful thing, that mankind has invented tools and instruments how to change situations without bloody wars or fights. That's what democracy is about. Only to be used. And the international community had taken the opportunity to give this country these possibilities. Now it must be adopted and used. That's it.
Možete li odgovoriti, da li ste odgovorili predsjedavajućem savjeta ministara Adnanu Terziću u vezi sa privatizacijom Telekoma?
Have you answered Adnan Terzić concerning privatization of
Telekom? Yes, the letter is answered.
So, because of the situation that you just described, how concerned are you about OHR's plans to close down next year and transfer, actually it's not going to transfer the Bonn authorities to anybody, right? How concerned are you? Are the politicians, is anybody here locally going to be able to take the responsibility for the country?
You know that we had a very serious discussion in the PIC conference where we have taken the decisions to close down the OHR on the 30th of June. And because of this discussion, there were some paragraph in the decision that there will be a final assessment for reassuring or reviewing the situation of this country in concerning the closure on 30th of June. I think that we did intentionally all as a summary of the discussion, because we have seen there could be a danger that this country has not really accepted the ownership necessary for this transition. And I must admit to you that the concerns are not less today than at this time as we made this decision. So we have to use that situation in February, then we will see how is the voters' judgment, how is the forming the government, how is the process of the reforms, how is the working of the coalitions supporting in the government with the majority of the parliaments, and how is the start of the new constitutional talks about the constitution reforms, how is the situation with the police reform, how is the situation with other laws, and this all is coming in the as a criteria for this final judgment at
end of February.
Well, it will be in February. I think it will be end of February. And of course, it is a very crucial alternative. First alternative, that we have to be courageous and have belief in this country to make that assurance of closure. Or we are delaying the whole situation with the transition. And that means that Bosnia-Herzegovina comes more and more to the end of the train for this region of West Balkan to the European integration. And that could mean a very bad situation for this country. So the international community is not in an easy situation. We take this responsibility, but we hope that our decision can be based on a clear assessment in that way.
I just wanted to add, my question is related to what you just said about European Union aspirations of Bosnia. Bearing all in mind that all these laws are delayed and that elections are coming and the new governments must be formed in parliament and everything, do you really think that the SAA can be signed this year or beginning of next year? And what are realistic chances for Bosnia to start real negotiations with the European Union on closer ties?
Well, you know, that I said always, also in critical times, that I'm an optimist. And if I wouldn't be an optimist, I think I would not be here today. You need quite a lot of passionism and optimism, but also a huge portion of realism to come out with good things. So I cannot say that I have no belief in it. I think there will be, perhaps only after the election, a new effort to come out with the police reform. I believe that even if the negotiations are successfully finalized in the SAA negotiations with the European Commission and the government here, that the signature will only be given by the European Commission if one of the preconditions, that was the police reform, is fulfilled. So that's now up to the responsible people here, the politicians, whether they want the signature or they don't want it. There were some strange formulations about we lived without Europe for the last 10 years or so, and we can live also the next 10 years. To that I will say that is not true, because the last 10 years only the international community had given peace to this country. So without the international community and Europe, there wouldn't be a peace here. And secondly, for the next 10 years, if Europe wouldn't be there, I would not be too optimistic that this is a majority of the voters, really, because the integration of this whole region to Europe is one of the main interests of the people, because this is influencing their standards of living, their behavior, their possibility to go to make trips to Europe, to exchange opinions, and to have a future for the next generation. And I think some saying this, that it is not so important, they didn't see the history, they didn't see the situation of today, and they don't look at the future of the next generation.
Excuse me. Don't you think Bosnia, as a result of Dayton Agreement, is over now, and the Bosnia has to think about a new constitution and maybe to think to be more united and not separated, at least in two parts, Republic of Srpska and Federation.
I exactly agree with your statement.
Could you develop this idea, please?
Well, this is a contradiction. You are saying that, don't you think that this is the situation they have to do? I cannot change a country. I can advise, convince, and sometimes I have to intervene. But I cannot make the whole mentality change necessary, coming from an ethnic perspective, going to the rights of citizens, as it is in a legal state and as it is in democracies of all of the world. There are problems with ethnic things. And of course, we can see that it is a difficulty here because the war was not long time ago. It's vivid in each family. And so far, we have also to have patience. But the history, the train of history is not waiting for that country, Bosnia-Herzegovina here. And decisions are made. And Europe is on the front to make decisions. The United States are doing decisions. They have priorities too. We cannot stay here giving money, billions, military and all these things, and we just only sitting here and saying, are you now ready or we need the other 10 or 20 years? That is not the reality. And that must be aware here in this country, and each voter has to be aware of that. That time is not so being surplus here, that if you don't do it now, then perhaps in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. History is not a lab that you can make an experiment and say, okay, we make the next lab, make the next experiment. History is gaining decisions for the better future or losing the possibilities of a better future. And this is final and binding. History is not giving all the excuses. History, as Gorbachev said, anymore, if you come too late, it is too late. So I only hope that that will be seen in time. And on the other side, that the international community has the necessary patience analyzing the very difficult situation of a war just 10 years ago, 12 years ago, and of course not be cured in such a short time. So the whole mentality is still including these situations. So we have to recognize that. But the people here have to recognize that they have not so much time. Many politicians are talking of it.
BNA Judo 1, Mr. Bajtarevich, I have two questions. What will be in Mostar after 15th of September?
Well, I made it very clear in my statements what I expect. That's the first point. They have two alternatives: to come to agreements in the prioritized topics I mentioned, the three topics, till that time, or they have to give a formal request for arbitration by OHR, and I am prepared to do that then, but it is a final and binding, and the time of just only talking and mediating is over. And if this all is not happening, then I will announce other steps by the High Representative.
My second question is, what will you do against people who every day talk about referendum, talking about referendum of Republika Srpska? SNSD says that they don't want to do it, but we have every day the same words from Republika Srpska and from Dodik that they threaten people here about referendum.
Well, I made it very clear privately in talks and also publicly that this has no realistic base, this whole talk. It will never happen. And the longer they are talking about that, the more they are going in an illusion and not on the realistic base of the country and of the possibilities of this country. There will be never an permit of the international community, because that was a part of the peace agreement for this country. And the one thing is clear, that those parties or leaders talking about the simple abolishment of the entities are wrong, the same way as referendum to get to come to another status are wrong. And they should study more the Dayton Peace Agreement, they study more, should study more the legal situation, and they should more concentrate how to cooperate and coming to a better constitutional functionality of the situation created by the Dayton Peace Agreement. Dayton Peace Agreement was not just an idle constitution, because there were realities from all sides, and that has to be accepted, otherwise the peace wouldn't be here. But we have to put this space to create more functionalities for a legal state and the legal rights of each citizen, regardless in what entity or in what group of ethnics they are living, in a majority situation or in a minority situation, different in any in any of these ethnicities or cities or counties. So this has to be done to a legal state to develop. And this is, of course, a very huge task, and we have to do that. But those wordings of referendum or something like that is just only taking away the attention to the real work politicians have to be done. And it is not in accordance with the Peace Implementation Council what they are saying. It is not in accordance with the neighboring states what they are saying. And they should more develop a peaceful region here in consent with all other nations than to speak about their stomach pains or what they have, or their brain pains, I don't know. They should concentrate and take their responsibility.
I'm Norbert Rutscher, freelance journalist from Switzerland. I have a personal question to you. Will you stay for sure in Bosnia-Herzegovina? Not important, the OHR will close in the middle of next year or not.
Well, perhaps you have forgotten that I'm already now the special representative of the European Union. And with this state, I even get a far more important mandate, 1st of July, than I have it already today. So there's no reason for me to change my mind. So, that's it. Thank you very much that you came here, and I hope that you can see that's a very historical moment. And I hope that media are helping a little bit me too in interest of the voters. Thank you very much.